We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 What's up, gang? It is the Upon Official Review Podcast back in action, and it is Halloween. So, hollow at your boys. It is your boy Murdoch, as always, aka Al, and your boy Magna, myself, Ari. It's a day after a beautiful Eagles win, and also it is Halloween, so, you know, happy Halloween to all you guys out there and your costumes out trick-or-treating, doing your thing. So
thanks, thanks for listening, as always. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show.
Exactly. Hopefully this show is your one of your treats of the week, one of your favorite ones. Hopefully nobody puts apples or razor blades in your bag. You know, that's always bad.
Yes, I've heard that's not good. We also have a special guest
this week,
our good friend Justin. So if you want to say hi to everybody, Justin.
Yo.
It's our man. We figured he's a big Cardinals fan, so we figured with the Cardinals kind of in St. Louis in the news this week, it'd be a good time to get him in here, and we'll talk a little baseball, and we'll have him chipping in with some football too. So St. Louis is kind of the epicenter of the sports world this week, so we figured we would have our expert from St. Louis helping us out.
Glad to be here.
Thanks
for joining us. Yeah, Justin's not only a St. Louis fan, but he's our good friend. He's a good guy. So, and he's an avid listener of the show. So we're glad to have him aboard. Added some insight. So yeah, guys, welcome to the show, and stay tuned. It's gonna be a fun show, I think. And right off the bat, Murdoch, we gotta talk about the Birds, man. The Birds kind of. I don't know if you want to call it shock in the world, but I don't think Eagles – I don't think anybody that was an actual Eagles fan expected that to happen yesterday.
No. They won – they beat Dallas, the hated Cowboys, 34-7, and it wasn't even that close.
It wasn't even that close. Really.
It was just total domination start to finish. The Eagles – every little bugaboo they got, how many third and ones they did? They scored in the red zone. They stopped. I mean, there's nothing they did. I mean, everything. It was just they had the Midas touch with everything they did. It was 21-0 before you could three drives into the game. The defense played really well. Vic was on fire all game long, and it was just an unbelievable. This was what we all expected to see when. They went out and made all the signings in the offseason and all the dream team talk. This is what we thought we were going to see. It took, 7 weeks, but better late than never, I guess. It was totally shocking. I didn't see it coming.
No, you kept waiting for the other shoe to drop.
It was just like,
we were like,
okay, well, they're gonna settle for a field goal here.
Yep, yep.
No, wow, they got a touchdown. Well, that's what that is. Okay. Weird. I thought you could only score from when you were outside the 50.
Right.
I didn't realize you could score from the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
But apparently that is allowed still with by NFL rules. So
yeah, you're like,
it was awesome. I mean, what else can you say?
Interception any minute now. There's going to be a tip ball interception.
Right. You kept thinking something bad was going to happen.
Like
it almost
lost fumble. There were two fumbles, but they didn't lose either of them.
Only in Philadelphia. I mean, what a weird season. We're only 7 games in now, and it's just sort of been. I mean, first you were so fired up, come in. We took care of business against the Rams, and then just looked awful for the next 4 weeks. And
yeah,
then
it's months.
I literally was rooting against the Eagles. They were so bad, just so we could get rid of Reed finally. And then Nate Allen came back, and he got confident. Now we kind of had one good safety, and then the backup, the second safety, Coleman, he wasn't that bad. As long as he's not kind of your better safety, it's a good, he's the, you know what I mean?
Well, Coleman had the game of the week, dude. He had the three picks.
Three picks. That was like 2 games ago, but
it was Redskins.
Right.
Although that probably helped.
Who was the guy that the third guy that's not playing now? The guy that
Oh, the guy that
what?
can't tackle. Or the guy that
Yeah,
does
yeah,
tackle,
yeah,
but
yeah.
then he would miss a ton of tackles too.
Right. When it was him and Coleman, yeah.
Page, yeah.
That was just brutal. But with Allen and Coleman and Allen playing well, that's much better. And our middle linebacker Chaney has really kind of remember because everyone said, well, Chaney's pretty good.
Right.
And now that
He showed
he's playing
flashes
well
last year.
again, we got instead of all three bad linebackers, all bad safeties. Now we have two players playing really well, and that makes a big difference.
Right.
With a good free safety and a good middle linebacker, huge difference. So, and the defense, allowed 13 and then 7 in the last 2 weeks, and that's pretty good. And this one was against a good offense.
A good
Last time
offense. Yep.
was Rex Grossman,
Rex Grossman.
which, obviously that's anytime you shut him down, that's an asterisk because he shuts himself down. So.
His name describes his play, which is, actually that's pretty accurate for Romo as well.
That's true. Yep, pulled a Romo. Yeah, and it's funny if you say he pulled a Romo, nobody would have any.
No, everybody knows exactly what you're talking about.
Everyone knows exactly what you meant, what would mean by that. You don't have to like explain yourself.
Oh, okay, makes
Like,
sense.
oh yeah, well, he really screwed up,
Exactly.
So
You could say that in
now,
an office, and people would actually know what you're talking about. It doesn't even have to pertain to football.
So. But yeah, it was a fun Eagles game, and around the NFL,
This team, dude.
just
Hold
an
on.
unbelievable
Let
week.
me just let me interrupt you real quick. This team takes us through so many emotional roller coasters, man. Where else
Yeah, I
do
mean,
you have to go through like this?
I don't know. Let's ask Justin. Justin, being a Rams fan, I know this week or this year, they just finally got their first win. But when the Rams were the greatest show on turf, was it this kind of like up and down, topsy turvy, as we feel being Eagles fans, like, or was it just kind of, wow, they're really good, they're just gonna win a lot? I mean, how was that?
So
How would
back in
you
the day when they
compare?
were awesome,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, back in the day they were that season was just a phenomenal season for the Rams. They were just like running through it full speed. I mean, they were an actual team that would work together. Your offense was working with your defense. Now you just kind of look at the Rams and you're like, what are you guys doing on the field,
Yeah. Well, I mean, but then, the Saints, who put up 62 the last week, you guys just beat. So, like I said at the opening, I think the Cardinals' mojo kind of rubbed off on the Rams. That whole city of St. Louis just had a pretty good week. So, but the
Yeah,
NFL just
I
goes to
hope you're
show you
right.
just never know. But to answer your question, Ari, I think it's just us that has to go through these kinds of things. I don't think other cities you go through these kinds of ups and
Here's
downs.
the thing about it is, I mean, and this has happened. I feel like this has happened since even pre-Andy Reid. I've
Oh,
been
it's
an
just
Eagles
always
fan
been
for.
a Philadelphia.
I'm
It's
just
not
talking
even
about.
just Eagles. It's just
No,
our
I'm
whole
talking about
city.
specifically the phenomenon of playing down to your competition. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like
Yeah.
they would look
Yeah, remember
awesome
they
one
used to
week.
always lose a game against the Cardinals when the
Yeah.
Cardinals were in our division. They'd always do that. They'd always be good for one of those games, one of those
Yeah.
stinkers.
Yeah. And it was just like, how does this happen? Like you remember a couple of years ago when we were playing awesome,
You're talking about
Ryan
the Bengals
Greasy,
game.
the Bears game.
Yes. Well, we blew like two or three Bears games in a row. Like,
Yeah,
did
yeah.
we win finally against them last year? Let's hope we can win against them again this year. Jeez.
Yeah,
Oh,
seriously.
like the one drop where somebody drove like 96 yards.
Yeah,
And
it was
was it
Greasy.
Grossman too?
That was Greasy. Brian Greasy did that.
Oh, yeah, that's
Yeah, at the
right.
very
Oh,
end of the
geez.
game, I was like, this game's over. And
No
then,
timeouts,
yeah.
98 yards. Like, are you kidding?
To a backup quarterback in Chicago. Come on, dude.
Yeah,
God.
who's not even in the league now?
Yeah, and that was when we had Sheldon Brown and Lito Shepard, too. I was like,
And
what
Jim
is this?
Johnson, a
Yeah,
real defensive coordinator.
exactly.
I know that's a novel
What
idea.
happened? Yeah. It was so annoying. Anyway, this team takes you all over the place. So that's let's actually transitions into the point about the Eagles. 7 points, man. That's pretty impressive against a team, that's got weapons. Say what you want about Tony Romo, he's usually good for 3 quarters, usually at least.
Right, actually counts, right?
Exactly.
No, and he's got all the talent in the world. Tony
Yeah,
Romo can make
Austin,
all the
Dez
throws, and he's
Bryant. They got a good rookie running back.
Jason Witten.
Yeah, Jason Witten is most, reliable tight end in the
And
league,
again,
probably.
Romo has all the skills. He can make all the throws. I mean, he throws a really nice ball. He's just an idiot. But
yeah.
but yeah, they had no chance from the get. That was just shocking. It was a shocking game. Dallas had not been blown out. I mean, they were barely, they just got Romo'd on the three previous losses.
Uh-huh.
And they could have easily been 6-1 going into the game.
Right.
And then they just – the Eagles looked like – see, now Green Bay has looked – that's the way Green Bay's looked for seven games this year.
Right.
It looks like if the Eagles play like that, that's the only chance anyone in the NFC has of beating Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because the Eagles are 3-4, but their upside – nobody else in the NFC has that upside. If the Eagles play that game, nobody could beat them in football except for maybe the Packers.
Right.
If the Packers – then the Packers would have to play their best game – in order to beat the Eagles, if the Eagles played their best game.
Right.
The Eagles play their best. They might be better than they might be completely unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was as good of a win as
well.
You can
I mean,
have.
Where's the let's real quick, like literally like 30 seconds, stack the Eagles and the Packers together. Who wins on which sides of the ball? Like, you got to say the Eagles have a better running game, right?
Well,
better secondary.
They're the number one running game team in football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
exactly.
of Vic. But without Vic, they'd probably be ranked third or fourth, something like that. However,
well, Sean McCoy is tied for the league lead in
touchdowns.
LeSean
McCoy, who is the best running back in football. Second
arguably.
Best maybe, Peterson, maybe Arian Foster, but he's certainly top three at worst.
Right.
And you add Vic to that, we clearly have a much better running game than Green Bay. Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback.
We got the edge in the QB. We have the edge
a
in
big
running.
Edge. But we still have
the defense
just
defense is
we have a better
overall
defense
theirs.
Too, and they're getting better. That's the thing.
Wait,
with
wait,
all
wait,
the
wait,
turnover.
Wait. You're saying our defense is better?
Yes, I believe so.
Really?
Because I think the last 2 weeks you're going to see more and more of. Again, I think it was huge that Nate Allen came back from his injury and Jamar Chaney got better. That made our complete – the middle of the field. Look at Jason Witten. We shut him down. He got 28 yards last night.
I think Green Bay has a better overall defense, but I think we have a better secondary.
I don't know, because right now our front four is really playing well. I'm telling you,
you're right.
The Eagles are going to play well defensively going forward.
You think that's actually what was my question was. Do you think they figured out how to actually play this defense?
Yes. That's the thing. New coordinator, all these new six new starters. I mean, it was and with no training camp, it was going to take time.
Right.
And I think they've caught on. Now, do I think we're better than Green Bay? No. Aaron Rodgers is so good that it
so
makes
good.
Up for the fact. And we'd have to catch them on and off. Their turnovers that can change any game, but if we can go out and win the next 3-4 weeks, then let's talk. It's still early, but man, that defense—if they can be given up 7 to 13 points, the sky is the absolute limit because they looked really, really good. And Green Bay's given up points in every game. They've been winning 35 to 28, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their games. Let me just pull up their schedule here. I'm pretty sure they've been giving up points. Let's look. All right, yeah, they beat Minnesota 33-27 with Ponder, his first start. They beat St. Louis 24-3, Atlanta 25-14, Denver scored 23, Chicago 17, Carolina scored 23, New Orleans 34. So they've given up points all but two games. At Minnesota, 27, that's not too good. With Ponder in his first start. So, no, I think their defense, our defense, again, when we're playing the way we're playing now, when we have no safeties or linebackers, then no, we don't have a better defense. But when we have Nate Allen, Jamar Chaney playing well, then we have a better defense than them. That's what I believe. I don't think Minnesota could score 27 points on us right now. That was just last week that Green Bay gave up 27 to Minnesota. So.
And we'll see. We'll see how. If the Eagles can go on a tear, if they really have learned how to handle their
right.
defense.
Exactly.
To me, it was very, very impressive, specifically how they played defense against the pass. Like, Dez
yes.
Bryant was invisible. Miles Austin was invisible. And
right. well, the other
Jason
thing
Witten,
was
they would put
Asamoah.
Cornerbacks just on him. And just
Jamar Chaney, too. Asamoah. See, that was the thing. A couple weeks ago, when Tony Gonzalez killed us against Atlanta. Their plan was to put Asamoah on him.
Or DRC, right?
No, it was gonna be awesome one because
Really?
he's the
Okay.
bigger one. But then somebody like twisted their ankle that week, so they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
They decided, I can't remember who else, somebody, one of the other cornerbacks, DRC did. So they said, okay, well, we can't play DRC on the outside, so we're going to have to go back. But Asamoah has been really good the last couple weeks. He's, because he had just done man-to-man for 8 years, and now he's learned how to, they're moving him, they moved him around yesterday, which was always their master plan, but now it's working. And boy, it just looks good right now. And it's kind of the defense that we all dreamed about. And you know what I think, too, is, you know, I'm glad they didn't trade Asante Samuel because they're not susceptible to one injury to a secondary like that happened last year. But, you know, they trade – what they should do is they trade Asante after the season because you were going to get a draft pick for him if you traded him now. Next year, why not trade him at the end of the year and get the draft pick? You know what I mean? You're not – he's not going to have less value in 2 months.
No.
You're still going to get the same pick, and you get him for the next 2 months. So you might as well keep him and then trade him. And, you know, then you've got your two outside guys. And because Hanson's a good third corner. He's probably honestly better at playing the slot than DRC is anyway.
I think
Cromartie's kind of been a little disinterested. I understand that, too. These guys like to play and like to start. And he's been a good soldier, better than Asante, who
can't shut up
the whole time.
Shut
like,
up.
What's your problem, dude? You're starting. It's not like they're putting you as the backup, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a great Eagles win. Let's not get too crazy. But, you know, the thing is, you know, beat the Bears on Monday night. It's not like it's a Monday night. They're going to be up for that. Then you're home against Arizona. All of a sudden, 5-4, going into New York. You can beat New York. You're 6-4. New York, I mean, if you look at their schedule, it is brutal.
It
if
is
you can
brutal,
beat New York, you'll
yeah.
be at worst tied with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way they're going to win every game between now and then.
Yep.
They have at New England, at San Fran, home against Philly. So if either they're going to lose at New England or at San Fran, I believe. I don't think they're going to win both of those games on the road. That would be really tough.
Yeah.
So then you're tied with them at four losses. And New England are right now, they look like the Eagles could kill them because they don't have any pass defense.
Nope.
Anyway, Giants after that at
and
New Orleans.
Really, they haven't been stopping the run either.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we would absolutely kill them. I think we're going to blow them out. But listen to the Giants. At New England, at San Fran, home against Philly, at New Orleans, home against Green Bay, at Dallas, home against Washington, at the Jets, home against Dallas. That is brutal.
Yeah,
one
the Cowboys haven't
Washington.
Played the Giants yet at all. The Cowboys got to play
That's
the Giants twice, us again, Tampa
well,
Bay.
The Giants are the only ones. Giants have their second-place schedule. The schedule is you play one division from the AFC, one division from the NFC, and your own division six times. That's 14 games. You get two extra games.
Right.
Whatever. We're playing the AFC East and the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were first place last year, so we play – the first place team from the other two NFC divisions, not the NFC West, the NFC South and North.
Right.
So we get Chicago, who won their division last year, and Atlanta. But the Giants, who were second place, get both second place teams, New Orleans and Green Bay. So they end up with a much harder schedule than us.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's brutal. New Orleans better than Atlanta. Green Bay better than Chicago. So they get way harder games on both sides.
Not
even close either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a harder schedule, and all their hard games are left. They have one easy game against Washington, but the rest of them are just brutal.
Tough.
So the Eagles, I'm telling, they could go on. They absolutely could go on a run. If you look at the schedule, Chicago, Arizona, you got to win those at home. If you can beat New York, and I think they can. Again, that's a Sunday night game. They're going to be, you know, pumped up, prime time. Then you get New England at home. New England has no defense. If you look at what Pittsburgh did to them, except for the fact that Pittsburgh had to – I mean, Pittsburgh blew them out yesterday. If Pittsburgh hadn't had to settle for a couple field goals, they would have absolutely won that game by 30. New England has no defense right now. I think they would absolutely never be able to stop us. We would put up 600 yards against them. Then it's Seattle. Even though that's a short week, it's going to be Thursday. It's a Thursday night game. We're going all the way to Seattle. Still, it's Seattle. They stink. And then it's at Miami. I mean, after a week and a half at Miami, you know, if you can get by that Seattle game, you were going to win Miami home against the Jets, at Dallas, home against Washington. Those last two are wins. Home against the Jets, we're going to be favored in every one of those games. Every single one. We will be absolutely favored. The New England game, we're at home, so I think we'll be favored. Maybe not, but certainly the other games. At New York is the other one that we're going to be favored. So, I mean, we could, you know, not saying run the table, but, you know, we could go on a nice run. If we can win New York and New England, Seattle, those three games. The only reason I say Seattle is because it's a four-day week. We're going all the way across country. We got to win that game. Those three games, if we can win, New York and New England. And I really think if you look at these games one by one, there's no reason why we can't go on a long way.
Hey, dude, how many games has Seattle won, man?
The thing is, dude, it's a four-day week. It's Sunday. We're playing on Sunday against New England. Here's the thing. Chicago.
You don't feel like Seattle's playing for Andrew Luck? They're cooked, man. Terrible. Dwarf Jackson.
Minnesota was bad last year, too, and we lost to them when a bye was on the line. You can never count. When you're traveling on a short week.
That was on that Tuesday night. That was that goofy.
I know, but this is a Thursday night. On a short week, when you have to go 3,000 miles, that's tough.
Yeah, I guess that's
on
true.
A four-day week. If it was a full Sunday to Sunday, no problem. I'd say it's a blowout. But if it was at home, but man, going for 3,000 miles on a four-day week, I mean, that's brutal. And just after you played the Giants and New England, two big games. So it's total letdown factor.
Letdown week, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. So that's why I think those three are the swing games. I think the last four we definitely can win. At Miami, home against the Jets. At Dallas, home against Washington. I think the next two we win. So it's New York, New England, Seattle. I mean, at some point we're probably going to lose one of these games, but things are looking up. And if Eagles had just not blown a couple of those games early, they'd be absolutely right there.
Yeah,
they'd be
in
you know,
good
shoot
shape.
For the number two seed, bye in the first round, everything else. Mm-hmm. But you know, if they can get in, Green Bay, all they did was get in last year. They were the sixth seed, and they were so damn good by the time the playoffs rolled around. So, you know, look out. You know, this season's not over yet.
Yeah, man.
It's exciting. It's going to be exciting to be able to watch the games.
It
and
is.
That's something that we didn't think we had 3 weeks ago, and we do now. So, you know, and again, you got to take care of business against Chicago. You got an easy game against Arizona. Then you get that three-game stretch that decides the season. If you can somehow get out of there, if you can beat New York, New England, and Seattle, you get a week. It's kind of a bye week then. Those Thursday games give you a big advantage because both teams are playing on a short week, but then you get a week and a half before the next game. Now, the next game is Miami, so it doesn't matter if we had a short week or not. But that's nice to get the players a little bit of rest, kind of like the first bye after 6 weeks and the next bye after the next, you know, 6 weeks later, you get another mini bye, kind of recharge your batteries type of deal. You know, San Fran loses a couple games. Who knows? You know, the Eagles run the table right here. They could be looking real strong, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm excited, dude. I'm excited to see. Hopefully they have it put together. Hopefully they can keep it going. You know, it looks like they're revving up their engines, but we'll see what happens. Real quick, running down the rest of the league, we already talked a little bit about St. Louis shocking the Saints.
How surprising was that, though? I mean, Justin, as a Rams fan, are you disappointed? Are you looking to possibly try to get Andrew Luck, and do you want them to lose out? Or how do you feel? Or was it just such a feel-good week for St. Louis that it was just the icing on top of the cake after the World Series?
You know, I like to see my teams win as much as everybody else. So I was excited to see that the Rams actually got in there and did something against the Saints of all teams too.
Yeah, great team.
I mean, and if you look at it in the past, you know, first round draft pick, that's great and stuff. But how often does that really help you? Usually, like first round draft picks, you're looking at players that you're going to be taking a big risk on that kind of everybody wants, but you don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season.
True, you got to pay them a lot of money. And you don't know what you're getting just yet. Everyone says Andrew Luck's going to be so great, but, you know, you do have, you know, a Sam Bradford who was the number one pick just, 2 years ago? So, yeah, so that was a good point. But it was shocking, right? I mean, nobody could have ever seen that coming. That was one of the most surprised – that had to be the most surprising NFL game of the season, right? I mean, the 0-7 beating –
not even close.
In years, maybe. I cannot remember that.
After a team scores 62 –
they were getting blown out every week. The Rams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Against a very good team. Let's not forget these guys won the Super Bowl a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And they were blowing people out. It wasn't St. Louis averaging something like 13 points a game, like something brutal and like giving up like. Up, like
yeah,
exactly. Like 27 or something like that.
That was completely shocking.
Yeah.
So,
not see that coming at all.
It was a good week for football. Now, actually, you know what? While we're still on football, before we move on, Next week is going to be a fabulous week for football. The games that are online for next week are awesome. You ready for this? Jets Bills.
Nice.
Good game, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's just the appetizer, the 1 o'clock game.
Nice.
Bucks Saints, another 1 o'clock game. Both good over one. 500. Good matchup. Okay, now we get to the 4 o'clock games. Giants Patriots. That's an awesome game.
Great game, yeah.
Packers Chargers. Great game, right? Sunday night, Ravens Steelers. Great game. Great. Those games are always awesome.
Yep.
And oh, Monday night Bears Eagles. I mean, that is fantastic. I can't wait. Week 9 is going to be a great week in the regular season. That's going to be – there's five awesome games. I mean, I my Red Zone, I can't wait to watch the Red Zone channel. That is an awesome channel, and I love being able to have – you know, go back and forth through all the games there. They do a great job on that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, Red Zone is awesome. Yeah.
NFL's awesome. Love it.
It is.
What a great sport.
It is.
No doubt.
It's such the way it's the NFL set up that you can just be entertained by anybody who's playing pretty much. It's just awesome. I wish Miami had come through with a win this week. Reggie Bush out of his mind in Miami managed to flub that game. Baltimore had a crazy comeback against Arizona. Like they were getting blown out.
Why on earth they were getting blown out by the Cards beyond me.
So bad. It was 24-6 in that game at one point.
24-3, yo.
Yeah, 24-3. You're right. 24-3 at the almost at the end of the second quarter, and then they scored 21 unanswered to go up 27-24, and ended up
that was crazy.
30-27. Wow,
that was crazy.
That is crazy. The dude, I don't even want to know what the backlash would have been like in Baltimore had they lost that game, because they had already like Baltimore's offense has looked putrid.
Because they lost, what, like 12-7, right? On 12-9 or something like that against Jacksonville on Monday night? That was just – so
Monday.
It was like 12-7, was it?
12-7, yep.
Yeah, and they looked horrible. And then it was horrible again in the first half. And then all of a sudden, flipped the switch. So that's huge for them going into the matchup against Pittsburgh next Sunday night. I mean, they blew out Pittsburgh first week of the season, but Pittsburgh looks like they're firing on all cylinders.
And now they are.
And they're going into Pittsburgh, the Ravens are. And the Ravens are 5-2, the Steelers are 6-2. So that's –
what if it's like maybe somebody cut Troy Polamalu's hair, like Samson, the whole thing? Like he needs to go.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's for probably a bye in the first round. Looks like to me, Ravens, Steelers both have two losses. The Bills and the Patriots both have two losses in the AFC East. So whoever wins those divisions is probably going to get the bye. And
that's
so
true.
That's, you know, if the Ravens win that game, they go to – the Steelers have one extra loss, but they also have a tiebreaker. So they actually get a two-game lead over them.
That's right. That's right.
Because they have a tiebreaker.
Yep.
So, So if they can go into Pittsburgh and win, you know, they're going to get probably a week off in the playoffs.
Playoffs? Talk about playoffs?
And so, but right now, I mean, you just never know. It's weird, the AFC. Everyone's kind of bunched there. And really, everyone's bunched everywhere except for the Packers.
Yeah.
And let's hope they hear about that just a little too much, the Packers. And they forget what kind of hard work it took to just to get to that point. Let's hope.
We'll see what Aaron Rodgers does, though. He's just playing out of his mind.
Looks like he's just like the greatest ever, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing out.
Like anyone's ever played as good as Aaron Rodgers is right now.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I mean, maybe Manning when
he's
Manning's
on another level
off,
right now.
But
you're right.
Right now, Rodgers, because Rodgers has a scrambling ability.
Yeah, that Manning never had.
And he can make every throw.
Every throw. And like some of those throws, dude, are just – there's just no way to stop them. Like that back shoulder throw, like
He puts
off
it just
when
right
you
on
time
the
it correctly, there's no way the cornerback can get to the ball.
Right.
There's absolutely no way.
And he's just so – that was what I was afraid of. Once they won the Super Bowl, he's so confident now.
Yeah.
And oof. But you know what? I'd like to get I would like to play them this year.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, you know, that would be at least in the second round of the playoffs, because they'll definitely get a bye.
Yeah.
We can win that game. We almost beat them last year, and we have a much better team this year.
That's true.
You know, they should have blown us out, but you know what? That coach gets conservative at the end.
Yeah, he does.
And plays not to lose, and that, you know, so.
Football guys do not like that, sir.
They do not. No, they don't.
All right, man. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do what's making Murdoch mad, and then we will get we'll dig deep into the Cardinals and the World Series talk, and
That
get
was
some much.
one of the greatest World Series ever.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. Just all kinds of drama. So yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk that to you guys. Remember that you're listening to the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is who we are. Don't go anywheres.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Double drama, wanna make a scary movie. Rappers coming in with their team and carry toolies. You can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting, directing and starring in it. Double drama, wanna make a scary movie. Rappers coming in with their team and carry toolies. You can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting, directing and starring in it.
The one man on the planet that'll drive off of the Grand Canyon, hop out of a Grand Am and land in a handstand.
Welcome back, gang, to the Upon Official Review podcast. Halloween edition, World Series edition, Eagles stomp the Cowboys edition,
Cowgirls.
Cowgirls, exactly. You know what I've always thought was funny? How somebody mentioned it, like, Cowboys never really grow up to be cowmen. They just always stay cowboys. Cowmen just sounds so weird.
Is weird. It sounds really gay, yeah.
Anyway, it is time for
Sound
my
like a
favorite
bunch of
segment.
Romos.
Exactly. That's perfect for them. It's time for my favorite segment, your favorite segment, Justin's favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment. It's time for what's making Murdoch mad. Murdoch, tell him what's up.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right, this week, Bud Selig is making me mad. Actually, Bud Selig has been making me mad for like 20 years. I got to be honest. He has to be the worst commissioner in the history of the world. I mean,
Everything.
it's like he tries to do everything as bad as possible. You know, the wild card, he wants the wild card in, but let's also put the wild card team and, you know, let them play in a best of five against the team that won the most games all year. And let's make it a short series so the wild card team has even a better chance to beat the best team. It's like, really? That's a good idea? Or how about, oh, no instant replay on anything except for home runs because we don't actually want to get the calls right. We just like the human element. That's what he says, the human element. So basically what you're saying is you like errors. You want mistakes in your game. Let's just get the stupid call right. In Game 7 of the World Series, a.k.a. the worst possible time to have a bad umpire's call, there was a ball where the bases were loaded. It was 3-2. The Cardinals were ahead. And what should have been a called strike three was called ball four, which walked a run in. And then the Cardinals had to change – or, excuse me, the Rangers had to change pitchers. And then the new pitcher came in and hit a guy. Cost them two runs. The game was never the same after that. It was 5-5 to 2 instead of 3-2. Cardinals were able to pitch with a lot more confidence. Now the Cardinals deserved to win that series. They outplayed the Rangers. Totally choked. So I'm not trying to take anything away from the Cardinals, and they would have most likely, I'd say, 99.9% won that game anyway. However, that was not really that close, and you can't have, you know, there's no reason why. With the technology in place, why we can't get these calls right? Why do we have to rely on these lousy umpires? These umpires are terrible. You know, imagine if that happened against the Phillies, and they're down a run. All of a sudden, it's three. You know, there's just no reason why we can't let technology be used to get the call right, so the teams decide it on the field.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Nothing he does is good. He's got two leagues that have different rules, which completely benefits one league. You've got, you know, in the National League, both pitchers hit. In the American League, you've got your $400,000 bench player that you get to add to your lineup against their $15 million DH. Now, you tell me who's got a bigger edge there. Is it the $15 million versus the $500,000 guy, or is it our lousy pitcher against your lousy pitcher, both hitting, which they're going to both be 0 for 3 or 0 for 4. You know, the National League gets no edge. The American League gets a huge edge. But this is the way it is. Like, how is that a good idea? Nothing he's ever done, in my opinion, is a good idea. You know, I'd like the wild card, but there should be some kind of punishment. Like, Let them play one home game out of five. Certainly should make them play a best of seven. I hear next year they're going to have two wild card teams that have to play a one-game playoff against each other. I love that idea. But the wild card right now, you know, Boston's won as a wild card a couple times. The Marlins did it a couple times. It's too easy for the wild card to win. We shouldn't be setting it up to where the best teams should win more than the teams that aren't the best. And, you know, I've been saying that this is not just because the Phillies won 102 games and then lost to a wild card. I've been saying this for years. Yep. It's not a good setup. But, you know, let's get technology to get the call right. That's all it is. It was a travesty that the Cardinals scored two runs after what should have obviously been strike three. Again, they were ahead 3-2. They ended up winning 6-2, so they probably win the game 4-2. Now, there would have been more pressure on the Cardinals pitcher, so you can't say 100%, but they probably win, and they deserved it. You know, I'm not saying they got hosed or screwed or anything like that, but you know what? If I'm a Rangers fan, I'm livid right now because they should have at least gotten the chance to find out what would have happened if that was called strike three. You know, let's get the call right. I think that's what everybody wants. Get the call right. We have the technology that's in the stadium. It wouldn't even cost them a nickel to implement instant replay for these kinds of things. Let's let a computer call the balls and strikes. Why not? Why do we want bad calls? If the computer called it, it'd be the exact same strike zone night after night. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be nice.
Knowing a strike is a strike? Who doesn't want that? Instead of a floating strike zone that, you know, they're calling one pitch this way, this other pitch the other way, and the fifth inning it's a strike, and the seventh inning it's a ball. Nobody likes that. I do not know anyone that likes that. Ridiculous. And the technology is already in place for instant replay because they have to do it for home run calls. The ball and strike thing, they have that in every stadium because they use it to grade the umpire's performance. So they wouldn't cost them anything. They already have this technology. They just need to use it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So big, big foul to Bud Selig. There's no excuse for it. Enough of this. You know, at least punish the wild cards by making them play a one-game playoff. I like that. But let's go best of seven in the first round so the best team wins more often.
Yeah.
And let's use instant replay to get the damn call right. You know, nobody's complaining the game. You know what? The Phillies games lasted 2 hours and 10 minutes all year because they had good pitching. You know, stop letting the pitchers walk around for 45 seconds in between pitches like this ridiculous Red Sox from Yankees. And who's the closer from Detroit did that too? Papa Grande, Valverde. You know, these guys in the American League think that everyone just wants to watch them for 4 hours. That's the reason the games take too long. Not because of, you know, 5 minutes every, you know, three or four games where you might have to replay something. Most of the time you don't have to worry about it and everything's right. But once every couple games, you'd have to spend an extra 5 minutes. That's not a big deal. People would love it because it gets the call right and nobody wants to lose on a bad call. That's all we want. We just want the calls to be right, and the baseball has the chance to do it, but they just don't want because that's the way we've always done it. That's never a good reason to do anything because that's the way we've always done it. That's just what old people say when they're afraid of change. That's all that is because that's true. The way we've always done it. The human element. That's a bunch of BS. That just means we like it when people make mistakes. Like what? Why should we like that? So whatever. Bud Selig, screw you. I'm going home. That's about it.
Take my ball. Going home. I like it. Well, let's transition. Let's talk a little World Series. You know, piggyback on that. Let's find out, I guess. And what was actually your pick? Did you have the Cardinals? I'm trying to remember.
No, I said the Rangers in seven.
Yeah, so did I. I had the Rangers in seven as well.
I thought they were the best team, but I honestly think that Ron Washington was so bad that even though the Rangers had more talent, maybe it was just a magical year too for the Cardinals. Seemed like in the end, you kind of look and say, you know what? They were just going to win. There's nothing stopping them. Oh, unless, you know, we had let the Braves win at the end, which we should have back then, I said. But I think Texas was managed so badly that there was just nothing they could do. Even though Nelson Cruz, he just slowed up going up to that wall. He got to make that catch. Or or play it off the wall. If you're afraid to hit the wall, stop and play it off the hop. Because honestly, they probably win the World Series if he did that, because I don't think they could have scored Berkman from first. And if they tried, they'd probably throw him out. And otherwise,
not that fast.
They're still up a run with a guy on third. So, you know, they still have a chance to get another out. The only thing he couldn't do was jog at it, then slow down even more, and then kind of hop half-heartedly exactly. And let the ball bounce 40 feet in front of him.
Yeah.
That should go down as the worst play in the history of baseball, because Buckner at least was trying. He didn't have the effort.
Yeah, that was very –
He didn't put the effort forth.
Well, you're right. He didn't even put effort into it.
No. It wasn't just because he was slow. He was not
right.
trying. He didn't want to hit the wall.
Yeah, he didn't want the wall, yeah.
You know, the thing is, player like that, he was not thinking – on the way over, oh, I don't want to hit the wall. Because, you know, two outs in the World Series game six to win the World Series, he's going to take a hit on the wall. That's just a player that doesn't take one for the team ever. And you don't have time to think. You just do what comes naturally, which
right.
is to slow down at the wall. That's what that guy does. And I do not respect that. And he lost them the World Series. He should have made that catch. But at very least, but he was jogging for it. He could have run up to the wall, stopped, jumped straight up, probably not even had to jump and caught that ball. He was jogging off the get and then slowed down even more. Had he hustled and tried, the Rangers win the World Series. And
yeah.
I'll go to my grave thinking that. And but you know what? That's a play where the Rangers don't deserve to win. If they have a right fielder with two outs about to win a World Series who's afraid to hit a wall, then you don't deserve to win.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis... You know, those guys out there would have gone through the wall.
Yep.
That was an unbelievable team. And all credit goes to them because, wow, they beat the Phillies. They beat everybody. And congratulations, Justin. That had to be just an unbelievable feeling. What were your emotions in that game six watching that? I mean, in the ninth, tenth innings, did you think, okay, it's over? Or were you just thinking – man, they've come back from everything else. I know they're going to do it again. Or how was that? How are you? What kind of emotions were going on being a fan of the Cardinals watching that game?
Well, you know, it was awesome. We got that lead right off the first, and then it just like, you know, momentum. Like, oh man, we're actually going to do this. And then they came back, tied it up, and then they got the lead. I mean, it was just a back and forth emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then when they were up, I mean, you see them up by
four.
two, three runs.
7-5 at the ninth. Yep.
Right. It's like, you know, well, all right, yeah, they had a good run. I mean, that's awesome that they made it this far. And then they go back and tie it up. And, you know, you're going into, like, extra innings and stuff. But by the time it's just, like, switching back and forth and stuff, you know, it's like, okay, I can't give up on this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, anything and everything's happened in this game. I mean, it started out looking like a little league game and then turned into a home run derby.
Right. Yeah, it really did, too. I'm glad you mentioned that because I forgot all about that. That was the worst game ever played for about six innings. Both teams were just butchering the ball all over the place. And Freeze, you know, dropped an easy pop-up. Michael Young was making errors. Like you said, Little League. And then it turned in from, like, the first six innings of Little League to, like, the greatest three innings that baseball maybe has ever seen. Just unbelievable. You must have been exhausted after that.
Just the
emotional swings. That had to be just exhausting. That was one of the most unbelievable games I've ever seen. And I didn't really have a rooting interest. But even so, that was just unbelievable.
Yeah, totally agree. And, like, you know, afterwards, I kind of felt bad for La Russa because he's out there, you know, trying to do what he does best. And then, we find out afterwards the whole bullpen gate scandal, you know, the faulty telephone or
right.
whatever you want to believe it is.
Right. But, who knows? You know, that doesn't. Right. I guess that doesn't have to matter anymore, right, since you guys won in the end.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, afterwards, it's like, man, I can't go to sleep now. It's, you know, out here on the East Coast with you guys, it's like 12:30, and I'm like, man, what am I going to do? I got, you know.
Yeah. You must have been fired. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
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 Well,
I thought for sure after they hit the back-to-back homers – and then
right,
scored another run.
Inning. Yeah,
yeah.
And
I was like, this game's over.
Well, I
like,
thought for sure then.
Well,
and then
just
also,
deflates
then
you.
Hamilton
you know what I mean?
In the 10th. Sure, absolutely. In Hamilton in the 10th.
Right.
I thought, okay, you know what? Just coming back in the 9th, two runs, and then bang, right away, two-run home run. Like, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
But then Ron Wall, see, okay, I alluded to this earlier. Let me just go through all the stupid things that Ron Washington did. Now, the worst to me was he had – who was the guy? Oh, shoot. Who was the guy that had pitched the two-hit shutout in game four. The young kid with the perv mustache.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't remember.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. He threw into the ninth inning Derek Holland. Right. He was their third best pitcher, but he didn't pitch till game four. Do you think that's weird? Yeah, you want to know why? The reasoning was Harrison, who was their fourth best pitcher, hadn't pitched in 9 days, so we wanted to pitch him the ninth day rather than the tenth day. Huh. So they pitched Harrison in game three, which meant Harrison would have been in line to pitch game three and game seven. So you don't have your best pitcher pitching twice in an impossible game seven. You certainly wouldn't want your fourth best pitcher, right? You'd want your third best pitcher, wouldn't you?
Yep.
I mean, probably. I think I would, if it was game seven of the World Series, a better pitcher than a worse pitcher. And then he got saved by the rain. So Harrison didn't have to pitch game seven. They could go with Holland, who, again, went into the ninth inning on a two-hit shutout. But since he pitched game four, but there was a rainout for game six, and everything was pushed back, so he was on full rest for game seven. But he still went with his worst pitcher for game seven. When asked why, he said, "I'm not going to change anything now." And that was shades of the, "That's what got us here, going with what got us here," like the Fergusi excuse with Mitch Williams.
Mitch Williams, yeah.
Except worse, because Holland was their third best pitcher the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's 9 days rest or 10 days rest. What's the difference? You pitch your worst guy in game four, and then you get bailed out by the rain gods to get your better pitcher in, and you don't do it. You'd rather pitch him for one inning of relief in game six, a guy who's been a starter. They ended up pitching him two innings of relief, so he wasn't available to start game seven. And that was the plan going in. We're going to have Holland out of the bullpen, and we're going to pitch Harrison tomorrow, even though Harrison pitched in game three. And, oh, by the way, St. Louis won that game 16-7. And that's the guy you want pitching in game seven. Well, that's just weird. So in the eighth inning now, game six, they're up three runs. They have Mike Adams, one of the best setup guys in all of baseball, if not the best eighth inning guy. They don't let him stay in. They don't pitch him in the eighth inning. They start Derek Holland, who is not a reliever and ends up giving up a run to make it 7-5, which, oh, by the way, loomed fairly large when they tied it in the ninth inning. Why you don't have your actual reliever, not some starter who's, you know, of course he gave up a run. He's a starter. You know, how much did you really think you were going to get out of him? So, okay, that's pretty horrible. That's egregious. That's terrible. If it was the Phillies doing something like that, you'd never forgive Charlie Manuel. It's worse than – I mean, I hate Charlie Manuel, and that's worse than anything Charlie Manuel's ever done. But he wasn't done. He was not done. He consistently just did the absolute worst possible thing. I mean, I cannot believe that he wanted Harrison to pitch game seven. You know, with a two-run lead in the 10th inning of game six, his closer was the pitcher still. He had used all his good bullpen pitchers at that point, and the rest of the guys were like the equivalent of like the Phillies' worst bullpen. Like who's the last guy? Herndon. It was basically
Herndon.
David Herndon.
I was about to say that, yeah.
But they could have kept their closer in, but they decided to pitch David Herndon in the 10th, and of course St. Louis again tied it up. I mean, he just made the worst possible call at every possible way through that whole series, and barely lost, but certainly he did his best to lose that series. So, I mean, you know, as great as the Cardinals played, boy, Ron Washington is a terrible manager. And you see, I think Charlie Manuel is a terrible manager, and the success the players have with managers like that, you don't fire a guy like that. But to me, you have to fire him because he's just going to screw them next year. What about that? After watching that, why would you want him as a manager? I mean, that's – I don't think getting enough publicity is how bad Ron Washington got outmanaged by Tony La Russa. The funny thing is Tony La Russa, with that insane bullpen gate, you would think.
Now, explain to those who,
but the other guy,
who,
not,
who don't know about bullpen gate. Explain.
The bullpen gate was Tony La Russa said he wanted his closer to warm up, but twice the guy on the other end of the phone line didn't hear him. And basically, La Russa in game five, in a series that was tied 2-2, gave the game away by being just a terrible managing job. It was just a bad job. Now, Russo has a lot of times been accused of overmanaging. He thinks he's a genius, and he starts getting cute and batting the pitcher eighth and doing weird things. And a lot of times it will – you know, he is smart, but he's too cocky about it and ends up overmanaging, and it costs him a game five. But Ron Washington was so bad going back that LaRussa crushed him as far as the managing jobs, even though he had one of the worst managing games in World Series history. And to me, in game five, Ron Washington blew him away as far as poor managing in the last two games. It just wasn't even close. How bad Ron Washington was with the Holland-Harrison thing is stunning, completely stunning. Holland should have always pitched game three. Once he did pitch game four and the weather gave him a chance, they should have said, okay, he's our guy for game seven, and Harrison can pitch out of the bullpen. It was unbelievable. He'd rather have him pitch for one inning in game six than get a potential. I mean, this was the only guy on the Rangers that had a good start against the Cardinals, and he went into the ninth inning on a two-hitter. Wouldn't you want that guy pitching game seven on full rest? Are you nuts? Like, am I the only – is the whole world here crazy except for me? Wow. So it was really bad job by Ron Washington. Atrocious managing.
I was surprised they pitched to Pujols, too. You know what a bat I'm talking about? When they were Pujols at the double?
Six.
Yeah.
Oh, in the ninth inning? Well, I don't think you can – well, Pujols, though – Pujols wasn't the tying run, though. Berkman behind him was because Freeze with the triple scored Pujols and Berkman. So I don't think you walk him there up two with nobody on, because again, the double or a walk is just as good. That first run doesn't count. So no, I think that was the right play to pitch to Pujols. His closer just didn't have it and was walking guys. But I still think that closer, if he had come back into the 10th, might have been able to get the job done. I mean, it was terrible, terrible job by Ron Washington all the way. I don't understand these old school guys who are afraid to make adjustments. This is what we did in April, so we have to do it now. It's like, really? Like, and you're actually admitting to that? You know, LaRussa, say what you want about him, but boy, that guy adjusts.
He makes adjustments.
Speaking of LaRussa.
Like a chiropractor with ADD.
Right. Well, Justin, how do you – I mean, the news just broke that LaRussa is retiring. How do you feel about that as a Cardinals fan? Did you love having LaRussa? Did you think, did he annoy? Did he overmanage? I mean, how do you feel about LaRussa? Are you sad to see him go? Do you think, you know, he's probably pretty old? He won us a couple World Series.
I didn't realize he was 76.
He's old. He's definitely old. How do you feel about LaRussa retiring?
Yeah, so, I mean, LaRussa's kind of always had, like, a love-hate relationship with St. Louis. Like, half the fans love him. Half the fans just absolutely hate him. And, like, what the hell are you doing in there? So.
Which side of the fence did you fall on?
I like LaRussa. You know, I like that he got in there and he wasn't afraid to change things up. You know, there's too many managers, you see them just out there, you know, playing their regular lineup and that's about it. You know, they'll go in, they'll have a couple relief pitchers, and then they'll go to their closer. LaRussa, he'd shake things up. You know, he'd usually always go with his closer, but he'd pull in pitchers that hadn't been in for a while. You know, he'd throw in pinch hitters all the time. He'd change his lineup, you know, just based on how he felt people were playing. So I like that. I like guys that get in there and kind of, you know, mess with it. And he was good enough at doing it that it usually would work out for him. Now, I mean, every once in a while he'd do something, like you're saying, you know, completely out there. But for the most part, I like what he did. And I'm kind of sad to see him go, but, you know, we'll move on. The Cardinals, we'll recover. We'll keep playing good. We got a bunch of good players on the team, regardless of whether Pujols stays or not.
I kind of agree with that.
Dyslexia that he's actually 67. But
67,
he's older than I thought he was. Though.
Right. Him and Charlie are the two oldest. Well, now just Charlie, I guess. I think Charlie's a little older than him, but because I know Charlie's the oldest manager. So I guess Charlie's probably a few months older. But I kind of agree with Justin. He just got a little too cocky at times and overmanaged. If he had been able to stay away from that, he would have even been better. But he still was smart. He was not afraid to make adjustments. He would never, ever say, this is what I did in April, so I'm going to keep doing it, like Charlie and Ron Washington, you know, Charlie not pinch hitting for Polanco and keeping Ibanez. He would never do that. So in the end, I would rather have Tony LaRussa than who we have now. you know, it does have a lot of wins, 2,728. Only Connie Mack and John McGraw won more games. So that's pretty unbelievable.
That's impressive. And
he was impressed with himself. So, I mean, but nobody's – no, there is no perfect manager. But, again, you know, you know, you got to go with what got you there in the regular season because you can't panic 162 games. You know, the players will panic. You know, Charlie's good with that, but, you know, you have to absolutely make adjustments in the playoffs because there isn't 162 games. There's a best of five, and you're the hell out of there. And that's what Charlie's terrible as far as I'm concerned as a playoff manager. But La Russa, man, you know, game two. You know, they're down 4-0, and he got that pitcher right out of there and went to the bullpen in the third inning. You know, Charlie left Lee in after 8-13 had reached base. You know what I mean? If La Russa had done that, we would have been up 8-9 by the fourth inning, and it would have been over if Charlie was managing the other team. You know, so I absolutely think La Russa is one of the greats, no question. You know, again, I make fun of him sometimes. The genius La Russa, but you know what? I complain that when people refuse to make adjustments and do the same things that they did in May because they're afraid to change anything. That guy was not afraid to make adjustments, and I will tip my cap to him there. And I, you know, he was not afraid to do something crazy. And you know what? If they called him out on it the next day, then they did. But he was going to do what he thought. The best way to win, and he always did that. So he definitely to me was one of very, very good managers, and I think had we had him on our team this year and Charlie was on St. Louis, we would have won the World Series. I don't think there's any question.
That's
so,
a pretty fair point, I'd say.
You know what I mean?
No
way Cliff Lee blows game two.
Absolutely not. No freaking
La Russa, you know, only an idiot would have done that, and we have to have an idiot managing our team. So
It's true. So real quick, I'll ask Justin. I'll ask you, where do you think Pujols is going to end up next season?
Yeah, Justin, you want to take a first shot at that one?
You know, I'm going to give you an answer that you probably don't want, but you know, I really don't care. I don't care if he stays on the Cardinals or not. I mean, you look at some of the guys we picked up when La Russa traded off Rasmus. You know, we picked up Edwin Jackson, Mark Zerbinski, and Corey Patterson. And Jackson and Zerbinski were just awesome in the postseason. And you got people like Furcal, who came from the Dodgers, and he's catching balls left and right and getting to Pujols. It's almost like he had a magnet in his glove for all postseason there. So, you know, and then Fries and Craig, and you know, we still got Carpenter. It's a solid team, and you know,
plus let's not forget Wainwright too, your ace actually.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
that's the scary part. This is like, to me, St. Louis, it's very similar to the Packers. The Packers had so many injuries last year and won anyway, and then it's like, wow, they're getting who back? You know, their tight end and their running back and Ryan Grant, Jamarcus Finley, and like what, Wainwright actually their best pitcher? Oh, well, that sucks for everyone else.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
I think Pujols is going to the highest bidder. I think he's a proud man and feels he knows what he's worth. So I actually think the Cubs or somebody else will get him. But like Justin said, it might not matter because the Cardinals are very, very good, and they're going to be the best team in the National League with the Phillies next year, and it's probably going to be Phillies Cardinals in the actually NLCS next time rather than the first round. I think they'll win their division, and it won't be the best of five.
Dude, it's the curse of the goat is over next year, man. Pujols and Theo Epstein.
Yeah, it's going to take a little longer than that for Chicago, for the Cubbies.
Yeah, I know. Just playing.
They're at least 100 years away, you know. So.
Exactly.
But it could be somebody else crazy, like the Tigers or something, and they could play him at third base or something like that. Or, you know, I'd like, that would be funny to see because, you know, imagine having Miguel Cabrera and Pujols.
Yikes.
Those are
wow.
The two best hitters over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They're Mike Ilitch of the Tigers, their owner, hinted that he wanted to get another bat and do some major move. This was before they lost in the playoffs, and he said he wanted to raise payroll. So, I mean, you never know. Could be somebody come out of the woodwork
See.
That you don't expect. I mean, you know, the Phillies, you just never know. The Texas Rangers signed a $100 million a year TV deal. The Phillies could do that too. Their TV deal's coming up in a couple years. They could re-sign with Comcast early and make, you know, they made $25 million a year. If the Rangers got $100 million, we could
get $125 million. They're selling out the overcapacity,
million.
Man. It's not like
that's what I'm saying. And our ratings are much better than the Rangers. So we could get a better TV deal than them. That could raise our revenues by $100 million a year. And you know, we could spend
they could raise Pujols, you know, but still sell out.
Absolutely. So or raise, you know, and raise the concessions a little bit, raise parking. Yeah. You know, parking is like a hidden cost. Nobody thinks about parking.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you raise that $2, you know, everyone's gonna do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I think the Phillies are gonna get Pujols? No, it's a dream, obviously. But they could.
They could.
They absolutely could and still make money. So yeah, it could be, who knows, you know, the Yankees. Never count the Yankees out. Again, I know the Yankees have a great first baseman, but they don't have a DH. So, you know, the catcher was their DH this year, Posada.
He was so old.
Take Posada out of the lineup and add Pujols. How good is that? Yeah.
Oh,
talking about,
man.
Yikes. They score the most runs in baseball without him.
Yeah, exactly.
And A-Rod had a terrible year. Had like 12 home runs, 60 RBIs. Imagine if A-Rod was healthy and had a good year.
Like one after the All-Star break,
Yeah, it'd be just insane. So that'll be fun. I think the offseason is going to be – it's going to be a good hot stove.
The old hot stove.
Yeah, I mean, there's some big-time free agents out there. Jose Reyes.
Where did that term come from? Does anybody know? Justin, do you know?
I don't.
The hot stove.
I don't know. I think that's just what they always, you know.
I don't know. It sounds like a cooking term.
I don't know where the origination of it was.
We need to find out what that is at some point.
I think the reason is because, like, what's cooking? So what's happening? You know what I mean? Like, that's where the hot stove.
That makes sense.
So I got it here. Hot stove came from just people gathering around a warm fire in the cold winter months, discussing their favorite baseball teams, trying to figure out where players were going to go.
There you go. Now you guys know.
Something
you're
new every day. That's good knowledge by you, Justin.
Absolutely. Nice Googling.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be really fun, I think. And, you know, teams are going to make a splash. And again, you know, the Cardinals don't have to re-sign him because, you know, let's be honest, a stud ace, they're gaining Adam Wainwright, who was, other than Roy Halladay last year, would have won the Cy Young easily.
Probably.
There's no question about it. He was definitely far and away the second best pitcher in the National League. Halladay was a unanimous Cy Young, but other than Halladay, it was no question who was number two, and that was Adam Wainwright. And he didn't even throw one pitch for them. So Pujols did not have his best year. They can replace him just with Adam Wainwright coming back. And it's not like, you know, they offered Pujols like an 8-year, $200 million. So, I mean, they can use that money for someone else and get another darn good player.
Right.
Or a couple more darn good players if they don't sign him. So, to me, I'd be shocked if the Cardinals don't win their division. I think it's going to be Phillies Cardinals NLCS. And that's what it should have been this year. It's unfortunate that we had to play them in that 5-game series, but in a 7-game series with Wainwright, I mean, that would be fun. So
yeah, that would be cool.
It's going to be exciting. I mean, Madsen's up. Rounds, I think Rounds is gone. I hope Rounds is
Rounds
gone.
Is probably
to
gone.
Somehow change the offensive mindset. And that's one chance to do something rather than just sign the same players long term over and over. And like, we need to change something. And I think we have a chance to do that there. And, you know, even if we don't start the season, you know, there's always a trade you can make. You know what I mean? Like, we could try this rookie kid, Galvis, and then if it's not working out, make a trade, you know? We didn't replace Worth, but then we ended up at the trade deadline improving upon Worth with Hunter Pence. So, you know, I don't care if we don't necessarily replace Rollins in the offseason. It's not like someone else in the NL East is going to – I mean, we're winning the division next year unless we lose Halladay and Hamels.
Yeah.
The season knock. I'm knocking on wood. Don't worry. Something crazy like that, which, you know, the odds are obviously against that happening. So, you know, Phillies are going to be in the playoffs again next year, and that's all you have to ask for. It's to get there. And then, you know, they can't keep losing with these pitchers. You know, if they get there again next year, they're going to be the favorites, just like they were last year, just like they were this year. And you know, it's a crapshoot once you get in the playoffs. But you keep giving yourself those chances with those stud pitchers. You know, they're going to come through again at some point. So,
yep.
It's going to be a fun year.
It is. It is. All right, gang. Well, thanks for your input, Justin. Definitely stick around. We're gonna bring Justin back, do some questions for Crossfire. But let's take a break. And thanks, guys, for staying tuned to the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us, guys. Stick around.
What power do you have? I don't know. How about the power of flight? Did it do anything for you? It's levitation, Holmes. How about the power to kill a yak from 200 yards away? With mind bullets! That's telekinesis, Kyle. How about the power to move you?
Welcome back, gang. It is the Upon Official Review podcast. Still bobbing and weaving, knocking them out. You know how we do over here. It is time, gang, once again, for the illegal procedure of the week. So let's get into that.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so.
All right, gang, this week for the illegal procedure, I am throwing the flag at none other than Chris Johnson of the Tennessee Titans.
Good call.
Chris Johnson was just bellyaching the entire offseason about, I need to get paid, I'm not getting paid what I'm worth, da-da-da-da. And he was just, you know, just – that's all you heard from Chris Johnson was how he was the best in the league and he wanted to be paid like a quarterback and all this ridiculous nonsense. And we already talked about me and Alex talked about how me and Bernard talked about how, you know, you can't really gauge running backs because they just have a severe just drop off, like out of nowhere. They just, you know, the production just goes to the dog, goes to the pits. And Chris Johnson's only 27 this year. After getting a massive contract extension, what did he make, like 40 million, 50 million?
Oh, yeah, some insane amount.
He got
ridiculous
deal.
I mean, basically he's getting 50 million a yard at this point because he's got like 4 yards rushing in the entire season.
Yeah, he's average.
Pretty sure that's an actual number, too, 4 yards total, whole season.
He's got 302 yards on a
hundred. No, four yards. Four and a half, maybe.
He's averaging 2.8 yards a carry.
Yeah. The only top 50 rusher averaging less than 3 yards a carry, and he's averaging 2.82, so way less than 3 yards a carry.
Oh, that is brutal. That is absolutely inexcusable. Like, you can't tell me that you spent the off season doing anything other than talking and eating. Like,
He did the Andy Reid training program. Eat lots of muffins and, you know, hiding cheesesteak and challenge flags and things like that. Have you noticed Reid was very excited when he threw the challenge flag yesterday because he thought there was a muffin in it.
Exactly. He was like, oh, yeah.
It's muffin. Yeah, it's a cupcake.
Yeah, buddy. Oh, man. We won two challenges yesterday.
I was
tweeting. You know, like when the Eagles score, like, or a team scores a certain amount of points, like you get like a free topping at Papa John's or whatever.
Right.
Like I was saying, the Eagles win two challenges, you should get a whole free pizza. Somebody was saying you get a whole free franchise if the Eagles win two challenges. Because that never happens.
Yep.
Two challenges in one game. Anyway, back to Chris Johnson, dude. You're out of control, man. I don't understand how you can justify it. I hope you get cut. Like, honestly, I hope you get cut. Like, this.
Yeah, it's a shame they gave him so much guaranteed money, but
yeah,
he certainly hasn't been worth even close to it.
Not even close. I'm pretty sure, you know, I could probably average 2.8 yards carry. You know, just point me towards where the hole's supposed to be.
Oh, he's been absolutely brutal. There's no question about it. That is a great call, sir.
So, yeah, that's my legal procedure.
Yeah, he's been absolutely awful. Talked a lot of crap. And Rob Ryan talked more smack and came up smaller, but it's close between those two.
Yeah, you know what? Rob Ryan is – he's 1A.
Right.
I mean, obviously
– but that was only game for Ryan. Yeah, it's been a whole season.
Yeah,
for,
I can nominate Cowboys every week, honestly.
Right. It's been a whole season for – actually, Ryan has improved their defense quite a bit. Really ate it in this one game. But Chris Johnson's been the worst running back in football. Absolutely awful. Poor Tennessee paid him all that money just for him to be horrible. Yeah. So, good call, sir. I support that absolutely.
And can we talk about real quick why does Rob Ryan think it's okay to wear his hair like that?
Oh, who knows? Who knows what he's thinking? That is nuts. That's a good call. I don't know.
Hopeless.
Who told him that was a good idea? Like,
he just looks homeless. Like, he needs
like a haircut. He needs to get married so his wife can, like, not let him out of the house like that or something. He can't be, right?
You wouldn't. I don't know, dude.
I don't see how any woman would be attracted to whatever that look he has going on there is. But
just looks homeless. That's the only way to say it. It's just like
also a fat.
Clearly. Terrible. Anyway, let's get into the tweet of the week because we got a couple good ones this week. So
all right, let's lay it on us, sir. What do we got?
All right, guys, this week, tweet of the week, we got two. One being one of our fantastic followers, and one being an NFL player. First, from PH Sports Goddess on Twitter, obviously, tweets, for those being Tony Romo for Halloween, number one, don't choke on the candy. Number two, don't fumble the candy. So, nice. Yeah, guys, if you happen to be Tony Romo, actually, I think if you were Tony Romo, that would actually make your costume way better. That would actually make it way more believable if you started to choke or fumble. And then Ricky Williams, I couldn't believe he tweeted this because this is absolutely ridiculous. Ricky Williams, the actual, you know, Baltimore Ravens running back, former, you know, Miami Dolphins running back, former New Orleans Saint, who essentially got ostracized from the NFL pretty much he just kind of quit. He just left. Everybody knew he was a head case, and he just kind of went around the world to smoke weed.
Smoke pot, right?
Yeah, but he tweeted on Twitter, to all of you smokers, what you do on Fridays or any other day is your business. My Purple Fridays are about showing love for the Ravens. Yeah, I'm sure they are.
That's ridiculous.
He's tweeting about smoking weed, and he's saying, I'm smoking purple for the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, Ricky Williams. Whatever.
Yeah, that guy.
He's got a screw loose, man. He totally has a screw loose. He cracks me up, though. So, shout outs to you, Ricky Williams, and to you, Kiana, PH Sports Goddess. Good tweets this week. And now it is time to get some fantasy picks before we jump into Crossfire. So let's get into that.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Just a fantasy, fantasy, man.
All right, guys. Fantasy picks real quick this week. Speaking of Chris Johnson, like we just said, pick up Javon Ringer. He seems like he's getting some more carries in the absence of Chris Johnson, you know, getting off his Andy Reid diet. Javon Ringer, real good running back in college. He's played Michigan State, actually. But pick him up. He's getting some more carries. He should be getting some more points for you pretty soon. Brent Celek is no longer a zombie. He is apparently alive. Had a monster game last night. He had like 7 catches, 94 yards. Yeah, 94 yards and a TD.
Touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and let's just hope, because it seemed like Vic kind of, you know, he's the forgotten target, but looks like Vic may have remember that he's there, or maybe Celtics just remembered how.
Maybe they're finally starting to get some chemistry. I thought that too. That's a great sign.
That catch that Celtic had.
I thought they didn't have good chemistry, but now that Vic can trust him, and that's a big part of it.
He's been dropping a lot of passes, honestly, but he looked good last night, finally.
Right, and I think that's going to really help going forward because Celtic is the kind of a guy that's always there. Deshaun's not. But to have another receiver that's very – Vaught's always there. Who's the other wideout?
Macklin.
Macklin's always there. To have Celtic too, that's just huge.
Yeah,
teams were kind of like, well, we got to stop this, this, and this. But they didn't have to worry about Celtic because Vic and Celtic never hooked up before and had a big game ever.
True, yeah.
So if they have to worry about Celtic, they're screwed pretty much.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And they just have to hope we turn it over like we had done all year. But if we don't turn it over, you're not going to stop us. So.
Yep, it's true, yeah. And lastly, pick up Victor Cruz for the Giants, the slot receiver. He's looked really good. I don't know where he's from or anything, but he's just been scoring TDs on everybody. He does that terrible little salsa dance when he scores, unfortunately. But, yeah, and he's a Giant. But he's good. Pick him up. And drop Tim Tebow. I told you guys to pick him up, but he just looks horrible. Like, you know, he won the game against Miami, but you got to drop Tim Tebow. He can't hit anybody. Give him a little bit of time. Maybe he'll come together. And he's actually one of our subjects for Crossfire. So, speaking of Crossfire, I say we fire this segment up, guys. So let's get ready for Crossfire.
It's the ultimate challenge, Crossfire.
Crossfire, you get caught up in the Crossfire. Crossfire, Crossfire, Crossfire.
You'll get caught up.
All right, guys, it is time for Crossfire, which is the rapid fire segment of the show. So we're going to go 1 through 6. Me, Justin, Al, find out exactly what's on our minds. What are we thinking about these different hot topics? So, Al, we will start with you, sir. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the Eagles' absolute decimation of the Cowboys on Sunday night? Scale of 1 to 10.
As far as
just how surprising was it?
Okay. Well, I was completely shocked. I thought they could certainly, win the game if they played their game. But I never, ever saw that kind of a 27-point. I mean, I never saw that coming at all.
Right.
I would say 9.72. that almost as shocking as an Eagles game. It's just been a long time since I've been that surprised by the Eagles. You know, the funny thing was it wasn't even the most surprising score of the weekend with the New Orleans-St. Louis game being
right
in there. But, yeah, I mean, almost a 10. That was unbelievable. I just did not see – not that, that. I mean, that was just unreal. Not the way we played, that was a good team. They could have easily been 6-1. They shot themselves in the foot same as we have this year so far. But, boy, just to completely blow them out of the building like that, I don't think anyone – predicted that, so I was completely shocked.
Yeah.
All right?
Sounds good.
All right, Justin, question number 2 goes to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprising was the Cardinals' World Series victory, considering they were down to their last strike twice in the 9th and 10th innings of game 6, down to the last out twice, excuse me, down to the last strike just in the 9th inning. I don't think they were ever down to the last strike in the 10th inning. But also, down, what, 9 and 10 and a half games late August, down, 9 and a half games early September, down 1-0 and 4-0 against Cliff Lee in the game 2 of the playoffs, down 2-1 against the Phillies. I mean, all the odds were against them all, every step of the way. Only one other team has ever been down to its final strike and actually won the World Series, the 86 Mets against the Red Sox with Bill Buckner. How surprising was that from your perspective, 1 to 10?
Yeah, so if I had to hear Joe Buck say this could be Pujols' last at bat one more time, I don't know. Right? throw the remote at the TV, you know?
Good call. He did say that a lot. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to say a 9, reserving the 10 for when the Cubs finally come back, which we know is never going to happen. but that was just awesome. You know, when we found out that, Cardinals made it into the playoffs as the wild card, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. We get 5 free games of baseball. So, you know, then they get up against you guys in the last game. You know, it's just a pitching standoff. And they, you know, if you guys had played, you know, an awesome first inning, like just, you know, heck, even those first two pitches, like, we probably wouldn't have been in it. Like you guys could have gone all the way. And it's just like stuff like that, you know, you're going up against Nigel Morgan, who could, you know, yelling at the Cardinals and everything.
Glad you guys beat the Brewers. Definitely.
Right.
I don't think anybody wanted to see Nigel Morgan in the World Series. He did the public a big time service there.
No one named Niger.
But it was awesome. Like just every step of the way, you know, like you never would have thought the Cardinals would have come that far. 10.5 games out, you know, you're pretty much done. And then, you know, Atlanta did what they did. And but you know, we just took it one game at a time. You know, each time they won, like yeah, another game. So, I'm gonna go with 9 on that one.
You know what I just thought?
Sir. Yes.
You know what? Steve Bartman?
Yeah.
I feel like. I don't know if he ever got married, but if he has kids, wouldn't you raise that kid to be like the greatest baseball player ever? To like insert him into the Cubs lineup, like under a new name, you know? Don't tell him that Steve Bartman's your dad. You know what I mean? Otherwise, he would never get drafted. And then get him onto the Cubs somehow, and then win the World Series with Steve Bartman's kid. Like, would that get him redemption?
Oh, well, that would definitely get him redemption.
I was thinking if that was him, I would probably totally be like, that would be my quest, like to breed the ultimate.
Yeah, but lots of people have a quest to make their kid an athlete, you know, because
you got to put him on the Cubs specifically.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be hard to orchestrate, to say the least, to fix the draft and everything else, you know.
Build yourself a, you know, a baseball training facility and.
Yeah. The Cubs, like Justin said, I don't know about if they'll ever win. Although if
the GOAT is a strong curse.
Theo can break both the Red Sox and the Cubs. I mean, that he would be the greatest general manager of all time at that point, right?
You can go to the Hall of Fame as GM. Yeah, that happens, right?
Well, you'd have to at that point. I mean, like if the Red Sox and the Cubs. I mean, they'd that'd just be unbelievable. So.
Yeah, for real. Now you get inducted into every Hall of Fame of all time. You get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, like. Doesn't even matter what Hall of Fame it is. You put it in the NFL Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, let's go. Next question.
Yeah. So speaking of Steve Bartman and the Cubs, this question has nothing to do with them. Harry, this one's for you. So odds are, what do you think the odds that Tim Tebow is going to come be a solid starting quarterback here?
Well, Tim Tebow is going to need to do a lot of praying, which I'm sure he is used to, which is totally fine with him. Because Tim Tebow is right now just bad. He's really, really bad. And you know, I love watching Tim Tebow play. He's got a lot of heart, and he always says the right thing, you know, in a postgame. I wish he would be all great. I really like to root for him, but I'm going to give him just under a quarter. Like, I'm going to say, like, around 25%. Like, it's
– Really?
Yeah. I give him that much.
Wow. I would give him like
you're gonna give less than that
quarter of a percent of 1%, like 0.25. I think he has no chance.
I think you can't shut him down yet completely, just because.
Well, hey, I mean, that's definitely people.
He has
no
weapons just, right now. You got to give him a little more time.
I don't think he has the tools, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But hey, no, I mean, I'm not saying, you know. I mean, you could be right, absolutely. So that's just I am a complete. Skeptic, I don't believe at all, but not to say that I've always been obviously right about every player, so you could be right, we'll see. I mean, you know, he definitely has the intangible part covered. I don't know if he has the main stuff, but you know, we'll see. You know, it'll be fun to find out, as it always is in the NFL.
Al, it is your turn, sir, for Crossfire question. Right now, after this past weekend, who would you say is the best team in the AFC?
That's tough because you would have said probably New England, but then Pittsburgh blew them out. Baltimore blew Pittsburgh out. But Baltimore almost got blown out by Arizona. And they all have two losses, as well as Cincinnati is 5-2 of all teams. San Diego has only two losses, though they are really playing bad for somehow they're 4-2. Well, San Diego's just weird because they always are like 1-4, and then they come charging back and get crazy. Like last year, missed the playoffs despite having the number one ranked defense and the number one ranked offense, and they missed the playoffs. Like, what?
What?
And their division's bad? Like, how do you do that in a bad division?
right.
Like, that's a North Turner special if I ever saw one. But they're getting killed by the Chiefs now, 13-3. I don't think they're very good. Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC.
Wow.
No one else would say that, but Pittsburgh's not that good. Baltimore's not that good. Forget Cincinnati. New England has got exposed by Pittsburgh yesterday. Buffalo, they've beaten everyone. They beat the Eagles and the Patriots. They've done really everything you could have asked.
That's right. They made Brady look bad, too.
Yep. But right now, I don't think the AFC is – I think the AFC is weak. Right now, it's the Packers and then everybody else. But when the Eagles play their game, I don't think anyone but the Packers could beat them, including the AFC. They lost to Cincinnati and the Giants, both good teams with only two losses. Those are the only two losses, lost by 3 points to the Giants, 3 points to the Bengals. They blew out the Chiefs. They beat the Raiders, beat New England, beat the Eagles, blew out the Redskins. That's a for real team. Fitzpatrick's a for real quarterback. I think the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC.
Wow. That's quite an answer, sir.
Yeah.
Quite an answer.
All right.
I like it.
Thank you. Thank you. I figured I'd go out on a limb there. But, yeah, I think they're going to get a bye. I think they're going to win that division. Everyone's going to be talking Jets-Patriots, and they're going to be the team at the end. So, all right, Justin, you're up next. Since it is Halloween, what is the scariest movie you've ever seen?
That's a good question. I'm going to have to go with The Haunting. It's an old one, but a good one. Simply because it's one of those psychological thrillers, which you don't see around anymore. Everything now is just like people cutting legs off and jumping out at you. But I saw The Haunting back when I was a kid, and that kind of messed with me and gave me a few nightmares and stuff back then. So
nice. That's a good one. I personally always liked The Shining. I always thought that was a really good one.
That is a good one.
Creepy.
That's one of my favorite. The new show, American Horror Story, is a freaky show as far as TV show. That's a good one, too. It's only been around for like 3 or 4 weeks, but it's terrifying, I think. I mean, I don't really get scared much by movies or TV, but that's a good, scary show if you're into like really gruesome stuff and everything like that. But, yeah. What about you, Harry? You got a scary movie?
Snow White, man, was Snow White. Every
that's
time.
Cinderella. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Those mice and everything.
Leaving Beauty, man, that witch. Oh, Little Mermaid.
Yes.
She got all big at the end, Ursula. Oh, kept me up many a night.
So since we're talking scary, this one's going to go to you, Ari. The last question. Scariest player in the NFL?
Well, this one is I probably would have said – up until this year, I probably would have said Ray Lewis. Because Ray Lewis just is possessed when he's on.
Yep, so intense.
You know, yeah, he's so intense. And you know he's trying to kill you every time. You know, but I got to say it's none other than my favorite name in the NFL probably is Ndamukong Suh. Because the guy is almost unblockable.
Beast.
He's a beast, exactly. He's fast. He's huge. He's trying to just destroy you. He's just scary. If I was a quarterback, I would just be dreading playing the line.
I agree. And I think especially wait till Fairley gets into that swing of things.
Fairley gets
once they have two, because Van den Bosch is an awesome end.
Yeah, from the end, that's right.
They're gonna have two studs at tackles and a Pro Bowler defensive end. You're not gonna be able to do anything against that team. I'm telling you. Scary. They're just going to keep getting better, the Lions.
Scary.
Yeah, all right. Well, that was I think the scariest player in the NFL, if you're a fan of watching him, would be Tony Romo also, because every time he drops back to pass, if I was a Cowboys fan, I shudder at the thought. I'm glad I'm not, but I'd be terrified because you'd just be waiting for him to do something incredibly stupid.
Yep, it's true. Absolutely true.
So that's where I'm going on that.
Cool. You know who's scary just so far as just plain ugly? Is Marshawn Lynch is not an attractive man at all. Oof. Oof. He is so ugly. You ever seen a picture of that, dude?
I've seen pictures, of course.
Dude,
but
if you're
going to
Google
them,
do it on an empty stomach.
Oh, he is ugly. Dude, Google him. You get a close up of his teeth, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's scary.
It is bad. He looks
He's
like
got,
a.
He's got, like, script. Beast mode written on his teeth. Yeah. What is up with that? I don't get that. Is it because I'm white that I don't understand, like, the gold teeth thing? Or what is the deal? I just don't
Probably,
see.
Probably, but regardless.
I don't understand it. Look. I don't know. Maybe that's the whiteness of myself coming out. I don't see the. Why that is considered something
yeah,
that
there's,
people
there's,
want
there
to
is
do.
No other profession for that man. Maybe like a UFC guy. He has to do something where he gets hit repeatedly.
Yeah.
No other. I wouldn't want him serving me food. I wouldn't want him in my business meeting.
Dude, if you Google Marshawn Lynch, the first thing that's suggested is Marshawn Lynch ugly. Is Marshawn Lynch ugly? Marshawn Lynch trade? Marshawn Lynch fantasy? Marshawn Lynch run? But ugly is the first one.
That is amazing. Thanks, Google. You made my night. You made my night, Google. All right, guys. Let's before we wrap this show up, before we put a bow on this thing, let's see if we have any. You guys got any shout outs for this week?
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that good.
What you got?
Yeah, I just want to shout out to all my friends back in St. Louis. Wish I could have been there to celebrate with you guys, but you guys did it upright. So congratulations to the Cardinals and all the supporters of the Cardinals. And it's been a great season. I'm glad to see them come back on top again.
All right. That's, I have to say – you are a classy fan. You didn't rub it in at all. So I definitely appreciate that when you guys beat us. And like the Cardinals fans, you know, I think everyone baseball heaven, whatever. I don't know about all that. But you know what? They have good, solid fans. And, you know, they deserved it. Again, they didn't have total wusses who couldn't go against at the wall with two outs in the World Series like Nelson Cruz. They didn't have lousy managers. They played their butts off and never gave up. And, you know, it's a heck of a story. I'm going to shout out my friend Danielle Wilms. That would be at Danielle Wilms with two L's, DanielleWillms. She is a passionate Philly fan, gets really into the Eagles. You should definitely follow her if you're into women who are smart and funny and passionate. She definitely has that covered, and then some. So that's all I got. Ari, what you got?
I have several shout-outs, but I also have a caller into the show. So we're going to connect to her real quick and see what she's got to say about our team. So hang on a second. We're going to get here connected.
Hello?
She should be connected in a second.
Hello? Oh, I hear something.
Kimberly.
Hello?
Kim, can you hear us?
I wonder if they can't do like four people at once. Is
no,
this
I've
like
definitely done
overload
it before.
For Skype? Okay.
No, I've done it before.
I don't know. Did she pocket Skype you?
Pocket Skype you?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I just reconnected there.
I hear somebody coughing.
I'm
Kimberly,
here.
Can you hear us? Oh, hey.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a part. And I'm pretty sure your Twitter name is just at Kimberly Taraba, correct?
At Kimmy Taraba, yeah.
Kimmy Taraba, that's right. That's right. Awesome, awesome. Well, we're actually just about to wrap up the show. Did you have any particular questions or comments about Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers?
I actually wanted to tell you that I was on campus and I was wearing my Eagles shirt, and a lot of the people around here are Cowboys fans and Saints fans, and I'm not a Saints fan at all, like, not even a little.
Wait, where are you at? Where at college?
I'm in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah, I can hear it in your voice, actually.
Yeah. And so you're an Eagles fan from Louisiana?
Yeah, my dad was born and raised in Philly.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well, that's good parenting by him.
Parenting.
We support you.
My mom's a St. Louis fan, so it was pretty tense recently.
Now, so are you? Do you root for the Phillies, or are you a baseball fan at all?
Oh yeah, I'm Phillies, Flyers, Eagles. I watched the Little League World Series, and I was cheering for Philadelphia. I don't even pay that much attention to little kids' sports, and I was just like, Philly.
Awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, we love you for sure. That's great that you are representing the people down there in Louisiana. That's good work, and definitely keep it up.
I think I remember you saying...
Hope you enjoy and can rub it in to all the loser Cowboys fans that you have on a daily basis.
Oh,
your head is held high these next few days, certainly.
Didn't you say something about your mom having a rally squirrel shirt? Was that you?
That stupid rally squirrel shirt? Yes.
hey, don't knock the squirrel.
I hate that squirrel too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Screw that squirrel. Yeah, I'm with you, Kimberly. I'm glad that you brought that up, actually.
Yeah,
I'm still bitter against
the squirrel. I hope Oswald really cooked that squirrel. I really hope he did.
He did. He ate it, dude. he's got it, and all his boys, too. He eats a squirrel every day now. He kills one on his tractor.
Oh, great. We went squirrel hunting down here, so my dad and I went out and we just shot squirrels.
There you go.
That's awesome.
That's a good activity right there.
Yeah, let's go shoot some squirrels.
It was a good day.
I bet you that was, that must have just felt good. Like, that had to be, really good therapy.
Yeah.
Bring squirrels,
It was pretty vindicating. For Halloween, my friends asked me what I was, and I was just I'm just a bitter Phillies fan. I wore my Phillies jersey today, my Phillies hat, and I was just angry all day. I was I'm not over it still.
Yeah.
That's good. I am too. You definitely – I'm surprised that you're from Louisiana because you definitely – your dad, I can tell, definitely raised you with a Philly attitude because you are obviously you understand the kind of the spirit of the Philly fan.
It's true.
Generally bitter and angry, and that's just how we roll around these parts.
That is true. Well, thanks for the call, Kimberly. We really appreciate you you being a part of the show. And
thanks for calling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anytime we're recording, you are welcome to be a part of the show. Have a good night. All right.
You too.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks.
Oh yeah.
Talk
Bye.
To you later. Yep. Bye. All right. Cool. That was cool.
That was cool.
All right, gang.
Squirrels and being an angry Philly fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good job by her, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely fantastic.
I support that 100%. I
totally support it. A couple shout-outs for me before we get out of here. At Chris2 Cosme, C-O-S-M-E, he's part of the BS Line podcast. You can find them on Twitter, too, at the BS Line. Also, a couple cool people at M. Triple TRIBLE at I'm to blame. I'm to blame is fantastic account. You absolutely have to follow him. He's hilarious. At Swing and a Long Drive, obviously a homage to Harry Callis, but it's a Swing N A L O N G D R I V. Definitely follow him. And then of course Seth the H, who I'm pretty sure I've shouted out before. Pretty much everybody we follow, you should follow.
Yeah.
High quality
I just
stuff.
about my shout out, Danielle. She's also really awesome and cute, so you definitely should be following her.
Yeah.
If you enjoy those things in a woman. So.
Who doesn't, I say?
I mean, seriously. Phillies fan, smart, funny, attractive. I mean, come on. Nothing better than that.
Total packages. That's the kind of people we follow.
That's how we do it.
All right, Justin. Thanks again, man, for being part of the show.
Yeah, Justin. That was really nice to have another perspective. And we appreciate your knowledge and input, taking the time.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. It was a blast. You guys keep doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. You know we will, sir. And hopefully the Rams will beat some other teams and maybe help us out.
Hey, here's hoping.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, by the way, I saw Justin's Halloween costume. Al, did you see it on Facebook?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Hilarious. The 1%, you got like the gold tie and like the top hat or whatever that was.
That dude's was creative. Yep.
Yeah, very good stuff. All right, sir. Well, I will see you next week for another episode of the podcast. Go Eagles.
Monday Night Football. Monday night.
All right.
Eagles, Bears.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yep. All right, you guys, stay tuned, and we will see you next week. And no more We Got Cliff Lee, but we will say Fire Charlie Manuel.
Absolutely. Fire Charlie.
See you later, guys. Peace.
Picks it up. Looks for running room. He's at the 40. He's at the 45.
Big Becker shotgun, no, we got a cannon. 60 grand seats, but everybody's standing. Leaving DNs and LBs panning. Did he throw it? Nah, man, he ran it. Ha! We can pass it, quick slant to Jackson. Get him. Better bring your mics, cause you might need some traction.
Woo!
Avant going deep, hit him on a fade route. Try it on our D, and you're bound to get laid out.
Bang.
Bow down to the boy King Dunlap. Punt it out bounds, you don't want the son to run back. Cause when he run back, you ain't catching them. Better get your hamstrings ready, start stretching them. Coming through stunting, man, disturbing the peace. Eagles win, yeah, you heard it from Reese.
Larry
Quinton crossed the middle, man, bust you like a fender. And Marty Morningleg mix it up like a blender. September to December, then we get into the playoffs. That's Trent Cole, yo, he never takes a playoff. Speaking of playoffs, we running through that. Nah, I ain't a saint, but I got him yelling, who that?
Who that? Who that?
You already know.
Who that? Who that?
You ready for the show?
Who that? Who that?
2001.
Oh. EAGLES. Let's go.
Deshaun Jackson.